You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it. I'd like to welcome you all to Ask a Black Doctor, Dr. Bukasi Dubé, myself, DJ Ambush. Doc, how are you doing this week?
Man, I am doing well. I am doing well. Ready for spring break, ready for some beautiful weather. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Just got back in town, had a nice little trip away from it all. California for a couple of days. It was really interesting watching people travel. I didn't have any horror stories with people not wanting to wear masks.
It's
refreshing to experience some of that stuff in person versus seeing it all online and feeling like that's the majority of what our experiences are right now.
Yeah.
So that was good. Everyone was safe the entire time. We were mostly outside, but everyone was also vaccine boosted where we were. And come back to Portland, and mass mandate is over.
It's gone.
We talked about that last week. So it was really interesting to be here in the museum today. And I walk in with my mask on, and I'm seeing people throughout the museum, some with, some without. And it's like, oh, okay. Some people, I'm seeing their faces for the first time in like a year. Maybe.
Yeah.
Some of the staff. So, yeah, it's I'm good. It's been good. I am curious and I don't want to say cautious. I'm just curious to see how people are going to, which people are going to continue to wear masks and how they're going to play this out. You know, fingers crossed we don't have any numbers rising this summer.
Yeah. Well, sure. We kind of talked about this last week, right? When we talked about how, whether or not people are going to feel comfortable to continue wearing masks, right? Are they going to be harassed by folks who want them not to wear masks? Are they going to be, it'll be interesting to see. I went to several stores here in town, on the south side where I live, and one store that I went to, I won't mention any names here, but I went to three stores in one day, right? Uh-huh. One store there was I must have been one of three people wearing masks. And then I went to another store where everybody, just about everybody, was wearing a mask.
Okay.
The third one, it was a mix. It was maybe half and half. That was interesting, right? To see that even after the masking mandate has been lifted, people are still making the conscious choice to wear a mask and to protect others, because you never know what the other person is experiencing, right? They may be immunocompromised, or they may live with someone who's immunocompromised.
Right.
And so, it's good to see that people have the courage to do that.
Exactly. I mean, because we already know people will eventually will be facing, some type of scrutiny months from now if they're still wearing masks, years or so from now if they're still wearing masks. And ultimately, it's our individual choice to do that. But it's you're acting in the interest of public safety
when we do have
high numbers to just wear a mask, I'm just hoping that masks on, masks off, whatever happens, it just becomes normal behavior for us. This need to be a big rallying point every time we face a pandemic or a health crisis that require us to make little changes in our lives.
Yeah, totally. Hey, I'm with you, my man. I am totally with you.
Yeah.
I'm definitely signing up to DJ Ambush's public health call. I think it totally makes sense. We've talked about how in Asia, they don't have the same number of flu deaths as we do, right? Mm-hmm. Because they wear masks in the winter. During the flu season, everybody's wearing a mask. And there's no requirement. It's just a societal agreement.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of societal agreements, right? We don't drink and drive. We look down upon that, even though it's part of the law, people don't do it because we're trying to be we're trying to be good citizens. So maybe this can be one of those things that we do because we want to protect protect each other.
Yeah, I would like people to liken using masks to using an umbrella. You know, it's up to you if you want to go outside and get wet. But what's the better thing to do? Just
exactly. Oh man, I love the analogy. I love the analogy.
Man, so we're talking about spring break. Need everyone to be thinking safely when it comes to spring break. If I'm going to a place with large crowds during spring break, what are some of the ways I can protect myself against COVID-19?
Oh, that's a good question. I love that question because there are a lot of things that you can do, right? But probably the most important thing you can do is get vaccinated. Make sure you're vaccinated and boosted. I liked how you led up to this. You're talking about your trip to California and how everybody that you went with was, you know, vaccinated and boosted. You know, they're up to date with their vaccines. So that's probably the most important thing you can do. And because a lot of the times we don't know other people's vaccination status, you can do things that protect yourself, and things like, you know, wearing a mask. That's ensuring that, you know, you're adding another mitigation factor to protect oneself. So avoiding large crowds, avoiding, you know, doing as many things as possible in the outdoor setting. So those things help out a lot in terms of ensuring that the virus doesn't spread. And of course, doing things, if you're going to do things in the indoor setting, making sure that there is the room that you're in has good ventilation always helps. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. If there was a way that we could detect the flu, right? The same way we do the at-home tests for COVID-19. And if that was something we were already doing, no different than maybe taking someone's temperature, you know, I feel like just those type of things could become, you know, commonplace within society, within our society. Because I'm thinking, you know, again, referring to that, the trip I just had, this was thrown by a group of friends of mine, and they've always been very, very vigilant about making sure people take tests anytime there's any outdoor functions. The majority of the functions that we've had, the gatherings that we've had during pandemic, which haven't been many at all, we used to get together every single month. I think over the course of the pandemic, we got together maybe two or three times, and it was outside.
Yeah.
It was cold. Light the fire pit, and no one came inside until all of our tests came through.
Yeah.
So I think if we were already doing something like that, when it came to flu or just any of the things that we could detect, if people just ran the type of comparison, I think it would be far less. They would view it as far less intrusive, and you know, just something they wouldn't want to do, simply just in the interest of being safe. So I'm hoping, you know, with the large crowd gatherings increasing, and then also more socialization and us going to each other's homes and playing in backyards and hanging out for events and things like that, that people are still testing. Still go get your tests. Still get the rapid tests. Keep a stock of rapid tests.
Totally. Yeah.
You're able to apply and get some more tests sent out. So everyone, let's stock up on rapid tests. You know, have them at the house. It's no harm. Please do not listen to our former president about over-testing and over-reporting. Report as much as possible.
Yeah. It's and now that the tests are readily available, right? From the federal government, you can get free tests. Use those. You know, right. get yourself you know, some tests from the feds, and make sure you're using them. And they're now much, much cheaper because the suppliers are producing them in large enough numbers, large enough quantities. So get tested, make sure you know your status, and make sure you're protecting yourself and others.
Exactly. So we did talk about, you know, trying to make sure you're not around too many large crowds and things like that. But there is going to be a lot of traveling happening, not just during spring break, but as things warm up. I mentioned it before we started taping today, how I felt a lot more comfortable getting on an airplane because of some of the conversations we've had on past episodes. So for anyone that maybe have missed past episodes or just maybe have some apprehension about air travel, could you explain why it's basically, it's relatively safe?
Oh yeah. So airplanes have incredibly good air circulation. So when you're in a plane, they're constantly swapping out the air. It's actually much in terms of ventilation, it is probably the best place you can be. That's an enclosed area because of how they swap out the air and how they do the ventilation and the filtration, etc. But when you're traveling, right, you got to think about what else can you do to protect oneself. You know, typically a well-fitting, you know, KN95, N95 is probably the best way to go, because we have seen numerous studies that have shown how effective N95s and KN95s are. So if you can get one of those, especially when you're doing public, when you're flying, you know, public transit, like airplanes or buses or trains, that's probably the best way to go. Another thing you can do is, right, figure out where you're going. After you know where you're going, figure out what their transmission rate is. How much disease do they have in that population? And that should guide you as to what you need to do indoors and outdoors, wherever that is. So just there are maps available out there. The CDC has a map that shows you the community level of spread in that population, and use that map to determine whether or not you should be doing things indoors or outdoors.
That's awesome. Okay. So basically nothing's changed from before. Definitely, yeah. You know, you still have to wear a KN95 mask. And this is true from what I understand for public transportation at the state level, right? That hasn't changed.
That hasn't changed. That has not changed, yeah.
Okay. And is that federally mandated?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can be kicked off a plane if you don't want to wear a mask.
Right. Right.
So,
but, you know, be aware on the shuttles to the, you know, to your gate, maybe from baggage when you're in those little shuttles, still wear your mask. If you're going to be in any other trains or buses, definitely still wear your mask. They don't have as good ventilation as the airplanes, but still remember, you know, like you're going to run the risk wherever. But I'm going to tell you the truth. When the first flight I took after we had this discussion was back in November for Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
And I was on that flight just thinking about everything you said about the airplane ventilation. And I was just like, okay, this feels safe. And it wasn't even that crowded either, but it was like, this just feels safe. It just feels good to just feel the air blowing on you, knowing that it's all being circulated at a much greater degree than many other places where we are. Yeah, felt really safe with the mask on.
Yeah. And you said something very important right there, right, which is wearing a mask, especially like KN95 or N95. We know that Omicron was significantly more transmissible than anything we faced in the past. And then we also have the stealth Omicron that people have been talking about, the BA2, which is even more transmissible than the original Omicron, the BA1. So we still need to be careful. We still need to wear masks. We still need to, you know, practice good distancing to make sure that we're not getting it and we're not spreading it. Mm-hmm. The trends we're seeing in Europe right now, in Western Europe, England and the Netherlands especially, are showing us that this new stealth Omicron is behaving slightly different than what we anticipated. We're seeing very perplexing numbers coming out of the UK. So something to think about, something to consider, something to keep at the front of your brain as you travel over spring break.
Yeah, especially if you plan on traveling to the UK. That's definitely
exactly. Yeah.
The idea of checking out the locations in which you're traveling and seeing what their rates are it's something that hadn't occurred to me. I do remember you mentioning this before, months ago. But that thing is something else we should start talking about more frequently with our friends and family. If you do plan on traveling, check out the rates of where you're going to, and then understand what you possibly could be bringing back.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, what you're exposing yourself and what you could potentially bring back, yeah. Because mm-hmm. just because you don't have symptoms doesn't mean that, you know, you didn't get something.
Exactly. Exactly. So like any other situation in which you're sick, I think it's pretty safe to say, and I could give my non-medical advice to say here, that if you're sick, you should not be traveling during spring break. Whether it's COVID, whether it's anything. Be selfish. Be selfish with your virus, whatever it is you're carrying. Keep it to yourself. Okay? Hold it close to you. Do not share it with others.
Yeah, yeah. I know we say sharing is caring, right? But in this particular case, no, do not share.
No.
Stay at home if you have any symptoms.
Yes, keep it to yourself. We talked about testing a little bit earlier. This is something we definitely want to also keep an eye on as people are returning back from spring break. So they get back from Fort Lauderdale or wherever they go, and they're going to test themselves as soon as they get back. It is possible that, well, let me ask you this. Is it possible that when they get back and they test themselves, they're negative, but then may also present later on? And what's the length of time that they should be testing to see, you know, whether they're safe to go ahead and go amongst the people again?
Yeah. So that's a very good question, right? We know that you can get infected today, and if you were to test today or tomorrow, you may not be positive, even though you are infected. Testing typically, say you come back, using your example from Fort Lauderdale, and you come back today, you test yourself. If you're negative, test yourself again in about 3 to 5 days, and if you're negative, then that's good. You can stop there. And of course, if you're positive, isolate for at least 5 days. Protect others, right? That's a given right there.
Right. Okay. Cool. So we hear it. Test yourself. Wait 3 to 5 days. Possibly run another test and see where you are. And if you're clear, you're clear to go. This is good. You mentioned the stealth Omicron earlier, and we've talked about it on previous shows.
Yeah.
But I'm not hearing the same amount of concern and level of distress around this particular strain. Is it that we're still learning about it? We're still trying to gather information. CDC doesn't necessarily know what to say.
Well, so we're monitoring other places where they've had more of this, stealth Omicron than we have. Okay. So in the UK, it looks like they have reached about 50% of the circulating virus being stealth Omicron, the BA2. Here in Oregon, we're at about 10 to 12%. Mm. So we're still quite a ways away from, from seeing this be a problem here in Oregon. But that's why we're monitoring, right? We do what's called vaccine sequencing in about 10%, no, not even 10%, about 6 to 7% of all the positive PCR tests. But we also do something that's really, really neat that we didn't do previously, which is we sample wastewater to see if there is what the disease burden in the community is. So they look at wastewater and see how much coronavirus there is in that sampling. And this is led by some of our colleagues here at OHA and at Oregon State University. And this has actually showed us, has helped inform us as to what's going on, what the spread is in the community, and what mitigation factors to emphasize.
Okay, so around what number should there be concern You're saying it's relatively low as far as its portion of the overall Omicron presence in the state right now.
So in Oregon, I think we're at about it's estimated to be about between 10 and 12% of the stealth Omicron prevalence. But what we have seen is that this becomes problematic, at least in the UK and in the Netherlands, when the BA2, which is a stealth Omicron, reaches about 50%. Then it quickly ramps up and takes over from the original Omicron. And the problem is that what's concerning is that the stealth Omicron, as the name suggests, is very good at evading the immune system, and it's significantly more transmissible than previous variants, and it's even more transmissible than the original Omicron.
Okay. But this isn't the first time that we've had variants that don't become the prevalent variant. Like we've had variants before, right? That never reach that 50%.
Yes. That is true. We have had other. That's a very good point. We've had other variants that didn't cause as much of a problem. So the big ones that we typically talk about, right? The original strain. Then we talk about Alpha, then Delta, and then Omicron. But in between all of those, right? There were a few others. There was Eta. Then there was beta, then there was gamma, and then there was iota and kappa and zeta and mu and epsilon, which were other variants that we experienced in the past. So they didn't become as big of a problem as the alpha, the delta, and the omicron.
So we can kind of, use that as a way to kind of relax a little bit until the numbers actually get to a place where we need to really be concerned. I think, first off, Omicron has such a huge impact that to hear stealth Omicron, and maybe we need some better branding because stealth Omicron sounds like something we should really be concerned about. Not saying that any of these variants aren't, don't warrant concern, but it just sounds like stealth Omicron is coming for all of you. That's what it sounds like, So the idea that there have been, a number of variants that haven't been as impactful as the Delta or Omicron, that's really, really good to hear. Is there anything else that you would suggest outside of the current mitigation factors that we discussed with regards to being outside during spring break, large gatherings of people, maybe some of the things that maybe some policies or ideas of things that we talked about last summer that you would remind our guests, remind our listeners before we check out.
So just the main thing is, so practice those mitigation factors. And now that vaccines are widely available, please get vaccinated. I mean, it is probably the best form of protection. We saw recently former President Barack Obama testing positive, and currently second gentleman also testing positive within the last week. And they all came out and said, you know what? They're grateful to have been vaccinated and boosted because their symptoms were essentially minimal due to the fact that they had gotten their booster shot. So if there's one thing that I can implore you to do is get vaccinated and get boosted. That is by far the best way to protect yourself.
All right. Still the same. It's a broken record over here. Please get vaccinated,
Yeah,
get boosted, wear your mask. Everyone be safe. We will catch you next week. All right now.
peace.
Peace. Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.